Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Tuesday, the 22nd of March, 2011. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show. We are on KJLL 1330, and we are always on our worldwide website at buckmastershow.com. Please check it out. Rosemary Brandt, who manages that site, does a fantastic job with our website. Within an hour or two of the program concluding, it's posted with our archive, so you can just click on the website. You can get any of the shows, certainly for the past 2 weeks. We're live weekday mornings from 9 to 10. The program re-airs. Many find it's very convenient for them to listen to us in the evening from 7 to 8 here on KJLL. So you get two shots at the Buckmaster Show, either live or the re-airing. The lineup for today is another good one. We're going to start off with a newsmaker interview with Pima Community College Chancellor Dr. Roy Flores. Then we'll get an update on this upcoming wildfire season from Dr. Tom Swetnam, who heads up the University of Arizona Tree Ring Laboratory. Yes, we did get a little welcome rain last night, but we are still mired in a terrible drought here in southern Arizona. At the bottom of the hour, Pima County Sheriff Clarence Dupnik is waiting in the wings. He will be reacting to the county's latest snub from state lawmakers. Then we will close out the show with a conversation with former state lawmaker and congressional candidate Jonathan Payton. Will be live with me in studio. And we begin with Chancellor Flores from Pima Community College. Chancellor, good to see you.
Good to see you, Bill. Good morning.
Well, let's talk about, first of all, the Pima Community College students will be paying more. I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, it's about 9% more tuition next year as the school tries to recover from the state budget cuts. Is that about what you're looking at, 9%?
We are indeed. That turns out to be a $5 per semester credit hour increase, and if my math is right, you multiply that by 30, not very much additional money. Everyone can afford it.
Well, everybody saw the headline, University of Arizona tuition will top $10,000. Pima's still a good buy. Let's be honest about it.
I think so. The increase is going to be $150 for the base tuition. And that's very reasonable, given the fact that we had a 55%, looks like we're going to have a 55% budget cut from the state. And that's just an enormous deficit that we have to make up right away. So I think the students are I don't know if anyone will be pleased with any tuition increase, but I think they'll understand that this is modest, given the fact that we're facing huge, huge cuts.
The governor, as you say, the proposed cut to Pima Community College is about $9 million, 55% of the school's state appropriation. That will bring the state share of the Pima Community College income down to what, about 3%?
It looks like it'll be about 3% coming from the state and the rest from either local taxes or tuition. So that's just to put this in perspective, Bill, the average appropriation from the state per student is $325 for us. So for every full-time equivalent student, they give us $325. It costs us over $6,000 to educate a student and $18,000 to educate a nurse.
So the obvious question, there's such a huge gap there. So how is it made up? I mean,
well, some of it, of course, through the tuition increase, which is going to make up a part of it, a small part, but that'll be helpful. The other, it's been budget cuts. We've had vacant positions, reduced the number of staff positions. We reduced administration first by 14% and now by an additional 8%. We've eliminated subsidies. We're closing down the child care centers and doing those kinds of things just to keep it going and to ensure quality programs where we offer programs. We will also have to reduce enrollment. I don't think there's any way of getting around that.
What is the enrollment right now, and the reduction would be to what?
Well, we're looking at about 74,000 students this year in credit instruction, and we're going to have to probably reduce it by around 10% in the next couple of years just to be able to match our structural revenue with structural costs.
It's about 12 minutes past the hour. This is the Buckmaster Show, and I'm speaking with Pima Community College Chancellor Dr. Roy Flores. Before we move on to another topic, just about higher education in general, it seems, and I've said this many times before over through the years, and I've never seen it so bad as it is right now up at the legislature. There is, and let's be honest about it, an anti-intellectual bias at the state legislature.
Well, I can't get into people's minds and sort out what they're biased for or against. I just know that it's very difficult to if you get the kinds of budget cuts that we're getting, whether it results from bias or just from other sources. It's difficult to run colleges and universities and even K-12 with those kinds of cuts. How do you provide that much quality education when you're getting less and less and less and there are more and more students?
Can you foresee the day? I mean, you've got 3% state share. It's not that far away from zero, is it?
No, it isn't, and that brings up an excellent point, Bill. I think what we have to have is a conversation with the people of Pima County and see if, in fact, it might be better for us just to get out of the state system, have them keep the remaining $7 million, and then strike up a new bargain with the people of Pima County. If we can do that, I think that in the long run would be better for us. I'd rather have decisions made by the board members representing the population of Pima County than by people from other parts of the state. Let me give you an example. The idea that students and faculty should be armed, I'm not saying it's good or bad. I'm just saying I don't think it's good for us to have it, to have someone from Surprise, Arizona say that's the best thing for Pima County. So if we were to do that to get out of the state system, I think we might be better off.
Well, you bring up an interesting point. Getting out of the state system, how difficult would that be? First of all, the community colleges are not under the Arizona Board of Regents system, correct?
No, we're not. The Arizona Board of Regents is the governing board for the three state universities.
So who governs the community college system?
We used to have a state board which provided some governance. That was abolished about 8 years ago. It's the community college board of governors, each elected by their own districts, that govern each community college. But there is no central mechanism to coordinate the efforts of community colleges across the state.
So it wouldn't be that difficult to opt out if it gets down to 1% state funds or whatever. Would it be that difficult to opt out?
Financially, no, and I would hope that the legislature would be amenable to have a trade-off between funding and eliminating the burdensome regulations and requirements that the state imposes on the college and have that transferred to the local board.
So while there is no governance of community colleges, there, of course, is the accreditation area, which is more important probably.
Well, accreditation for us in higher education comes from regional accrediting bodies. Ours happens to be North Central, as is U of A and the other universities, headquartered out of Chicago. But as far as regulations, those come from the legislature. And I think the trade-off perhaps ought to be no regulations from the state or minimal regulations from the state and no funding from the state. Because we're going to no funding anyway. So.
Well, it seems that way. I mean, if we're down to 3%, zero is not that far away. Admission requirements will be changing for Pima Community College. What is the admission situation right now, and what are you going to, what change will be taking place?
Well, right now we have, we do not require a high school diploma or a GED.
Really?
We don't. And that's been the history of Pima Community College. But I believe it's going to be better for us to require a high school diploma, a GED, or evidence through testing that you're ready for college. And I'll tell you why. That will mean that students coming to us will be better prepared. We don't have the resources to spend to get people from eighth, ninth, and tenth grade to college level, you know, it's just very difficult for us under the best of circumstances. The other thing it will do is send a message that a high school diploma is important. That you can't just say, well, I'll just not study in school and then drop out and go to Pima in a couple of years. That option should not be available.
When will that take effect?
I'm hopeful that we can get this to take effect next January, and I think we will.
Let's talk a little bit about what is the future. We were talking about the funding state level continuing to dwindle. How do you go to work every day and still remain optimistic about higher education?
Well,
Maybe you don't. Maybe you're not optimistic. I'm assuming you're optimistic.
You're assuming the happy face and the smile is optimistic.
Yeah.
Well, I think I have to go to work with the idea that we're going to do some good, irrespective of the level of resources we're provided. We're doing good work. We educate people. We give them opportunities to get their lives squared away by earning a degree and then getting a job and taking care of their families. And that has to make you feel good. That doesn't mean that you don't come home tired and frustrated sometimes, but getting up and going to work under those set of circumstances is okay.
We should add, you were talking about the daycare. So you've had to make some changes. You had to close part of close the daycare center.
Right.
But as far as closing campuses, that's not in the picture right now.
No, that's not in the picture. We probably will be reducing programs over time, no question about that.
Give us quickly in the remaining minute an overall view of how many campuses you are operating right now.
We're operating 6 campuses, and we'll continue to do so for the foreseeable future. We're also hopeful of getting a 7th campus through the county. That would be the medical campus with the Keno complex, with bonds issued by the county, and we would transfer all of our medical programs to that campus should that come to pass, and that'll free up space at the other campuses.
Chancellor Flores, thank you very much for being with us, and as the budget picture looks very dismal, you do bring up some interesting food for thought about perhaps opting out of receiving any state money and being more of a totally locally controlled educational entity. It's something I think people need to be talking about, and we're starting that dialogue right now, and I appreciate that.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Chancellor Flores from Pima Community College. Next up, the fire season. Oh, my goodness. This has been a really, really dry year. Boy, it was nice to get a little bit of rain, but we'll get an update from Tom Swetnam from the University of Arizona's Tree Ring Research Laboratory. This guy knows about wildfires. We'll be coming up next.
The Arizona Inn is the only Tucson hotel named by Travel and Leisure magazine as one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. Located in Midtown, close to the University of Arizona, the Arizona Inn is located at 2200 East Elm Street and on the web at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn maintains AAA 4-diamond status for both the hotel and dining room, with Chef Allison serving up breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily, with a featured menu and seasonal favorites. And because the Arizona Inn is listed on the National Register of Historic Places, founded by Arizona's first Congresswoman, Isabella Greenway, the Arizona Inn provides an historic backdrop for your next special event. Arizona Inn is the perfect setting for weddings, anniversary celebrations, or your next business meeting, and you can make your reservations online at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn, luxury and elegance in the heart of Tucson.
Sarnoff Artist Materials is your one-stop store for fine and graphic artist supplies, framing, stationery, and Mont Blanc and other top-of-the-line writing instruments. Order online at sarnoffart.com or visit owner-operator Henry Sarnoff and his store staffed by artists, for artists, and those who seek the finest quality in everything art-related. Sarnoff Artist Materials, 2504 North Campbell, 3 blocks north of Grant, and always at sarnoffart.com.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com. And coming soon, Noble Hops, Tucson's first gastro pub.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowell and Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Imagine a jewelry store that is both sophisticated and organic, where Tucson's rich cultural heritage mingles with contemporary design. We invite you to Veer Jewelers, where our commitment to customer service is surpassed only by our reputation for creating inspired custom jewelry that is as unique as our customers. At Veer Jewelers, you are warmly welcomed, whether you are bringing in an heirloom for repair or design, replacing a watch battery, or shopping for a special gift. Visit our unique showroom centrally located on Campbell, just north of Grant, or visit our website at veerjewelers.com. Veer Jewelers, Tucson's trusted jeweler for more than 25 years.
Coming up on 24 minutes past the hour on the Buckmaster Show. This March is shaping up to be one of the three hottest on records in Tucson, and already the first 3 months of the year are among the driest in recorded history. That's despite the little bit of rain that we had yesterday. That spells danger for the upcoming wildfire season in Arizona. Already there's been at least one pretty big wildfire down in the Patagonia area, pushing 4,000 acres. With us is Dr. Tom Swetnam, the director of the Laboratory of Tree Ring Research at the University of Arizona. He's also the co-author of a recent study titled Forest Responses to Increasing Arid Lands and Warmth in the Southwestern United States. Dr. Swetnam, good to see you.
Hi, Bill.
It's really a dangerous time of year for us here, isn't it? We had those high winds yesterday with a red flag warning. This really looks like it could be a very bad wildfire season.
Yeah, it's shaping up that way. You know, it's as we come through a dry winter and a La Nina winter. You know, La Nina is this Pacific Ocean phenomenon, and it typically means dry conditions in southern Arizona, and that's true to form so far. So if we continue dry from now through April, then look out, folks. We're in for a long, hot, and probably fiery summer.
Give us an update on where we are as far as this current drought, and perhaps give us some historic perspective of droughts like this in the Southwest.
Well, you know, this is, in a way, it's a continuation of the longer-term drought that we've seen since the late 90s. So we're in with what we call a decadal drought. And we've had some wetter seasons in between, you know, since the about late 90s. We've had some wetter years and seasons. But overall, there's this long-term drying trend that we're still in. And, you know, a La Nina event, again, is kind of enhancing that. So We're dry right now, and especially southern Arizona, southern New Mexico. As you get further north into northern parts of the state and up into the Rockies, it's a bit wetter. There was more snowfall, so the upper Colorado River Basin is in fairly good shape. But it's warming up there, too, and the snow is running off earlier than it has been.
How does climate change affect what we're going through right now?
Well, warmer temperatures. We've seen warmer temperatures across the western U.S. in the last decade or two. We think it's probably related to the global warming effect. It's hard to say that definitively, but regardless, the trend is there. It is warmer. And so we go into these dry periods, and on top of that, then you have extraordinary warmth. And in fact, this last decadal drought, it's one of the warmest, if not the warmest drought on record in the last 100 to 150 years. And then, as a consequence of that, you see dying trees, you see extraordinary wildfires, and these other kinds of responses.
The tree rings, what do they tell us about past droughts in the Southwest?
Well, the story's not good. It's an unfortunate, you know, as you look back, actually you see these deep droughts have occurred in the past. And so it's a droughty landscape we live in just naturally. This actually shouldn't give us a sense of, well, this is normal, you know, we go through cycles. We're in a cycle of drought, and we've had deep ones in the past, but on top of that, we have the warming condition.
But you say deep ones in the past. Give us some examples. I mean, there was a bad one in 1950s, right?
That was the worst drought in the Southwest, in Arizona, New Mexico, in the historic period when we have good records. You know, the Dust Bowl also was droughty, but not actually as dry as the 50s in the Southwest. So then you go back with tree ring records, we can go back, more than 1,000 years. And over that time span, we see what we call mega droughts. So, for example, during the mid-1100s, from in 1160s A.D., there were droughts at that time that lasted up to 30 to 50 years long.
Oh, I hope we're not getting into – I mean, we're about 10, maybe 10, 12 years, but that could be – how do you know if you're going into a mega drought?
Well, you know, it's just you have to be in it, right, and for a number of years before you can say, well, yeah, we're in a multi-year drought. And in terms of the depth of the lack of precipitation, it's not that extraordinary. We were as dry or almost as dry as the 50s drought, for example, in the last 10, 15 years. But what's exacerbated is, the warm temperatures. And that's what seems to be unusual, not just the lack of moisture, but the warm temperatures on top of that.
And our forests, the high country forests, we talked earlier when you were on our program in January about situation in Arizona and New Mexico. The catastrophic fire and insect outbreaks have claimed up to 18% of our high country forests in just the past 24 years. That's really bad news.
It is. Because we're talking about 18% there. We're talking about total overstory mortality, where all the trees in the overstory have died over up to 18 or 20%. And that has effects on the watershed, how much water is going to come off in erosion and sedimentation into our reservoirs, habitat loss. And so it has repercussions.
Tom Swetnam has been with us. He's the director of the UA's Laboratory of Tree Ring Research, and they'll be moving into a new facility, breaking ground at the University of Arizona May 3rd for dendrochronology, your special lab, and that's going to be probably up and running maybe a year from then.
That's right, and it'll have a very nice public space, so we hope to bring people in to see our tree rings.
To see it all comes down. Tom, thanks a lot for being with us.
Listen up.
This is Tucson's Jolt.
Tucson's Jolt.
KJLL.
Now you're talking.
South Tucson.
CNN Radio, I'm Bill Caiaccio. Democratic Congressman Dennis Kucinich says the airstrikes in Libya are unconstitutional because President Obama didn't ask Congress first. Kucinich says it may even be impeachable, but for now he just wants the bombing to stop.
The president exceeded his authority, and it's very clear. What to do about it? Cut off funds for Libya.
Both of the crew members on a U.S. F-15 that crashed in Libya are safe. The Pentagon says there was an equipment problem and the jet was not shot down. Protesters in Cairo say they didn't start a fire at the Egyptian Interior Ministry building today. It started after a peaceful protest earlier in the day. Power is back on to the control room of reactor number 3 at Japan's damaged nuclear plant. The next step is to get the air conditioning working so crews can get in to prevent a possible meltdown. The most trusted name in news, this is CNN Radio.
So, wondering, have you ever been in a long-distance relationship?
Oh, yeah, I'm in one right now.
Really? How far?
135,000 miles.
What?
Yeah, that's how far I can go with the warranty on my Mercedes.
Purchase a certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz right now with an optional extended limited warranty, and your vehicle may be covered for up to 7 years or 135,000 miles. Every certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz undergoes rigorous inspections by factory-trained technicians to meet the uncompromising standards of Mercedes-Benz. And it also comes with roadside assistance and 3 months of Sirius satellite radio. So along with our 135,000-mile extended limited warranty, we extend this invitation. Come in for exceptional financing on our certified pre-owned vehicles today. And remember, if it's not at your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer, it's not certified pre-owned.
See dealer or call 1-800-F4-MERCEDES for complete program, including certified pre-owned extended limited warranty and Sirius satellite radio details and limitations.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
With 30 projects under construction, including work at La Cañada Drive and the First Avenue bus pullouts, the Regional Transportation Authority is delivering our promise to you already. RTA has completed 174 projects, including 5 major roadways, and launched transit services like Sun Express and Sun Shuttle. Your tax dollars are creating jobs and making travel around our region faster and safer. Please be careful of workers in those areas and obey all traffic signs. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore, casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson at North Swan and Cap Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com. Coming soon, Noble Hops, Tucson's first gastro pub.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tinka Verde, at the southwest corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Nell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tanca Verde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery on the corner of Tanca Verde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
It's 35 minutes past the hour. This is the Buckmaster Show, and I am Bill Buckmaster. Pima County will not be getting any state money under the plan adopted by the state Senate to fight border crime. With us is Pima County Sheriff Clarence Dubnik. Sheriff, good to see you.
Hey, nice to see you too, Bill. Thanks for inviting me.
Well, it's always a pleasure to have you on our program, and let's just cut to the chase. It looks like you're being punished here.
Well, the people in Pima County are being punished. Not so much by this one piece of legislation which singles out Pima County not to get any money, admittedly because they're angry with me, which to me is a total abuse of power. It's discriminatory, and it begs a lawsuit. But it's not law yet, and hopefully somebody is going to say, no, we can't do this. We were sent here. We were elected to come up here and do what's best for Arizona and all the people in Arizona. So maybe cooler heads will prevail. But the biggest problem is going to be what they're doing with prisoners. You know, what they're basically doing is saying, we can't afford, we don't have all the money for this, and we have signed pledges not to raise taxes. So we're going to send prisoners back to the counties. And if they do that, and I suspect that they are, it's going to cost Pima County about $10 million that we don't have.
Well, we had Sharon Bronson on our program yesterday, and she says this is a very desperate situation, that there really isn't any place to cut anymore in the Pima County budget. And unfortunately, law enforcement may take a hit here.
Well, law enforcement has been taking a hit along with every other county department. We're still surviving, and I think we're still doing a pretty fair job. But the fact of the matter is we're losing money and we're not able to provide the kind of service that we would like and the people deserve.
You know, getting back to this this border crime bill, I just want to share a few of the provisions with our listeners. A provision that was buried in one of the 13 budget bills approved last week spells out that the first $1.6 million of available money goes to the sheriff of a county with a population of more than 3 million. That would be Maricopa County. The next half million is earmarked for a sheriff in a county of between 300 and 500,000 people. And, of course, only Pinal County meets that definition. And if there's anything left, it can be allocated to other counties or cities, but not Pima County.
That's a fact, Bill, and it's not the first time that this has happened. Last year, the governor had $10 million in stimulus money to allocate for border sheriffs. She called the sheriffs in and said, you guys figure out how to spend this money, and we'll do it. So all of us sheriffs met. After several meetings, we decided on how it would best be divvied up. The governor then took the bill and did exactly what she said she wouldn't do. She took money from nobody except Pima County and took 60% of our money and gave it to DPS.
Are our lawmakers screaming about this, our state lawmakers from Pima County?
I don't know.
Probably not.
Probably not. You know what? What's the point? You know, what they're doing, I think, it basically is very discriminatory, and it's certainly an abuse of power, and we have that issue of abuse of power up in Phoenix, where apparently they put something in the water that causes people to behave that way.
And, of course, Pima County, it's not like we don't have a lot of border to patrol.
No, we only have about 125 miles of border, Bill.
What would the money have? Where could you have used that money for your border enforcement?
Well, we certainly need additional technology. That's one of the things that we're really hurting for.
If you have a comment for the sheriff or a question, the Buckmaster Show live line is open for you at 529-3508. That's 529-3508 if you would like to talk with Pima County Sheriff Clarence Dupnik. And I think we have a call for you right now, Sheriff. So if you would slip on those earphones and go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Bill and Sheriff Dupnik, thanks for taking my call. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we can hear you. Thank you.
First off, Sheriff Dupnik, I want you to know there's a whole bunch of us out here in Pima County who respect you to no end for your immediate response to that January 8th shooting, because I felt exactly as you did as far as the climate in Tucson, in radio especially. And so thank you for speaking what a lot of us felt.
Thank you.
Secondly, I've seen the deputies from the Sheriff's Department interact with the public, and very classy the way they handled it. I think other agencies can learn from what your men and women are doing. Now, the third point is, speaking about the issue of who we are imprisoning and the burgeoning prison population, you probably are already aware, and Bill, you as well, that what happens is an indigent defendant gets downtown and he's charged with a crime and he gets assigned a public defender. Now, that man or woman probably has 45 or 50 other active cases that they are handling. Something's got to be done about that, because invariably the state will come with the offer and this public defender will go to the client, to the defendant, and say, you know what, this offer you're never going to see again. It's the best one I've ever seen in 20 years. You got to take it. And the person will say, well, yeah, but I didn't do the crime. And they'll say, well, if you go before a jury, it looks very bad. So what we're doing is building more of these private prisons, which I guess benefits Janet Brewer's colleagues. And what can we do? Where do we start so that we can get more money for the public defenders and the legal defenders, so that we're not faced with them struggling to prepare a proper defense?
Thank you. Thank you, Greg, for your call. Go ahead, Sheriff.
Well, let me say that right now the question is not getting additional money. The question is trying to figure out how to survive.
Okay, we've got another call for you for Sheriff Clarence Dupnik, Sheriff of Pima County. I believe Rose is on the line. Go ahead, Rose.
Hi there. I as a resident of Pima County, I just wanted to say that I know that the sheriff has gotten some bad press in the recent, but I just wanted to encourage him to keep the good fight up, because he's one of the treasures that we have, and we need him desperately. Thank you.
You're very kind, Rose. Thank you.
Thank you, Rose, for calling the Buckmaster Show. Sheriff, are things are you still getting much any emails in connection with the January 8th shootings, or are things quieting down?
Well, the first 2 weeks were rather chaotic in our office, not only with the phone calls. We had to have almost a dozen people answering the phone from press all over, not all over the country, all over the world. But most of the press, most of the emails that we got initially were, kill Dupnik, let's tar and feather this guy. We also got a lot of people that said, thank you for saying what you did. After 2 weeks, the naysayers kind of went out of existence, and we still get a lot of mail and money, I might add, saying, don't stop what you're doing, keep it up. Somebody needs to say the things that you said.
Are you being punished by the lawmakers for your support of SB 10, your opposition to SB 1070, or is it, do you think it's kind of a combination of perhaps what you said after January 8th?
Well, you'd have to ask the people that did it, but the Senate president, Russell Pierce, is quoted in the paper as saying that it was done to punish Dupnik because he won't enforce the law. And the fact of the matter is, and we've said this 1,000 times, and I'm sure Russell Pierce has heard me say it, the Pima County Sheriff's Department arrests more illegal aliens than any other state or local agency in this state. So I don't know exactly where he's coming from. I think he's angry because I didn't support 1070. And it might be, I should point out that last summer we always... all of law enforcement in Arizona has a powwow up in Flagstaff. And the sheriffs had a meeting. Most were opposed to Bill 1070, but they said, we can't afford to say anything because Russell Pierce is going to become the president of the Senate and he will get even with us. Now, that's a fact.
So there was this climate of fear already, people worried about what Russell Pierce would think.
That's correct.
Sheriff Clarence Dupnik, thank you very much, and we'll have to keep an eye on what happens now with that Senate bill, but you could be housing a lot of prisoners that the state normally houses, and would you say it would cost at least $10 million
based on what we know of the prisoner population. What they're doing is saying that anybody who's in the state prison system for less than a year or less, and we don't know exactly how many that is from Pima County, because a prisoner might be there for 30 years and is in his 29th year and he's going to come back to Pima County. But basically what they're doing is saying, we don't have the money and we signed pledges that we're not going to raise taxes, so we're just going to give these people back to the counties and force them to raise taxes.
Of course, it costs X amount of dollars to house a prisoner, right, in Pima County?
I'm about 65 bucks.
Oh, 65 bucks a day. Okay, Clarence Dubnyk, Sheriff Pima County, thank you very much for being on the Buckmaster Show.
My pleasure.
It's coming up on 46 minutes now past the hour on this Tuesday. I am Bill Buckmaster. We'll be back with Jonathan Payton.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tinker Verde, at the southwest corner of Tinker Verde and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tanca Verde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery, on the corner of Tanca Verde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Sarnoff Artist Materials is Tucson's award-winning destination for everything art-related, including fine and graphic artist supplies, framing, stationery, and the world's best writing instruments. Visit owner-operator artist Henry Sarnoff at 2504 North Campbell, three blocks north of Grant, and always at the easy-to-navigate website sarnoffart.com. Because it takes an artist to know an artist's needs.
Tucson's Regional Transportation Authority uses your tax dollars to create jobs and make local travel faster and safer. Transit services like Sun Express and Sun Shuttle and the completion of five major roadways are examples of how RTA is delivering on our promises to you. With 174 projects completed and 30 under construction, such as the First Avenue bus pullouts and La Canada Drive, RTA wants to remind you to be careful of road workers and to obey all traffic signs. RTA, delivering our promises to you.
It's coming up on 49 minutes past the hour on the Buckmaster Show. Next on the Buckmaster Show, a conversation with Republican Jonathan Payton. Mr. Payton was first elected to Southern Arizona's Legislative District 30 as a member of the Arizona House of Representatives in 2004. He won re-election and served a second term, and then in 2008, he was elected to the state Senate. In January of 2010, he announced he'd be challenging Democratic U.S. Representative Gabrielle Giffords. He subsequently resigned from the state Senate to focus his efforts on campaigning for Congress. He lost the 2010 Republican primary to Jesse Kelly. And Jonathan Payton, good to see you.
Good to see you.
What have you been up to?
Well, I've been working on a lot of different things, and primarily right now I'm working on trying to get rid of our so-called clean election system in the state of Arizona. We call it subsidized welfare for politicians, and we're trying to end that in our state, where the state basically pays for the junk mail and yard signs for politicians in Arizona.
How are you going to get rid of it? What action are you taking?
We've got a bill in the legislature that would be referred to the ballot. It has to be referred to the people so they can vote on it. And the language would change the state constitution to say that from now on we would no longer have a program that would basically give money to people, either at the state level or here locally in Tucson, to pay for political activity.
How has clean elections in what? How many years has it been around? Is it
it was voted on in 1998 and it went into effect in 2000. It's been an abject disaster for the state. The three goals that clean elections had originally were to increase free speech, to increase participation, and to eliminate the influence of big money and lobbyists in the Capitol. And it's failed in all three of those metrics. But the most important metric of all that people should ask themselves, is the legislature better now than it was in 2000? And I think by anybody's indication, that never happened. We haven't improved. In fact, some would say things are worse than ever.
How has it? Why is clean elections to blame for being worse than ever?
Well, I think that probably the biggest reason is that as a Republican, as a conservative, I really believe in limited government. I believe in reducing the size of government, and I think that clean elections force Republicans to abandon their principles in order to achieve electoral success. And we certainly have achieved electoral success because of the money given out by the government. But I think we've lost our soul in the process of that. I think the quality of the members that are in the legislature is lower than it was previously. I think that the idea that we are going to magically improve politics because we've taken so-called, you know, the money out of it is ridiculous, because there's still a way for lobbyists to influence. Only now it's much more secretive than it was before. And I think that it's been an abject failure.
You were one of the, let's switch gears here to the Proposition 113, which passed overwhelmingly last November concerning secret union ballots. You've been watching what's been going on in Wisconsin. How does that affect Arizona?
I think it affects Arizona in Wisconsin because it gives us a view into the future, what would happen if we weren't a right-to-work state, if we didn't have a secret ballot for union organizing elections in Arizona. I feel there's been a role traditionally in America for unions, you know, the mining industry in West Virginia, for example. I mean, unsafe working conditions, et cetera. But I don't think that for most public employees that work behind a desk, that the same thing applies for those working conditions. And I think public safety is a little different. But for the vast majority, the purpose of unions has been distorted among public employees to the extent that I don't think we really we are basically increasing benefits at the cost of our financial security for the future as a state, and we can see that in Tucson and elsewhere. And I think that the when the things in Wisconsin happened, people said, well, it's an indication. They watched what was going on in Libya and Egypt, and they made a comparison. I think a much more apt comparison is what's happened in Greece, where you have people who were a part of an entitlement class that ultimately the state couldn't sustain that any longer, and things went under. And I think that's what we would see in our own country if we're not careful.
It's coming up now on 54 minutes past the hour. Jonathan Payton is with us. If you'd like to ask Mr. Payton a question, our call-in Buckmaster Show live line number is 529-3508. You've been following what's been going on at the state Senate. A lot of people say this is the worst legislative session they've ever seen. At least people in Pima County are saying that. How do you view what's going on up there? What's your assessment?
Well, obviously, as a Republican, as a conservative, I'm happy that we have a super majority in both the Senate and the House. I think that the problems that we have in our state are more due to structural problems with our state constitution than they are with any of the actions of any individual lawmakers or the bodies there. And I'll give you an example. We're obligated to spend more and more money because of the Voter Protection Act on things like access, et cetera, on the one hand, and they can't raise revenue on the other because of Proposition 108, and they have to balance the budget because of the Article 9, the public debt article of the Constitution. That puts the state in a tremendous bind that you don't see the federal government in, you don't see some other states that are in that same bind. So we have a tremendous burden in order to balance the budget, and I think it's difficult because there are constraints put on lawmakers to do their job. And I think it's been a bad policy over the last 30 years of things that have happened in our state, ballot measures that people pass without any real stream of revenue to pay for those things. And I think that combined with policies that have made this an unattractive state economically, I think all of that put together has created a disaster.
The Arizona Republic, as you know, had an editorial right before the Senate was voting on the omnibus bill, which a lot of the legislation Russell Pierce had been trying to get through the legislature for years regarding immigration. But 60 CEOs in this state said, please, enough is enough. Let's concentrate on the budget. Let's move past this immigration thing. Do you think that might have had some effect on some of Republicans crossing over and saying no to that omnibus bill?
I think it probably paid a role. I mean, obviously, business is an important plank in the Republican Party. But I will also say that there is still tremendous frustration in our state about illegal immigration, and this is ultimately the fault of the federal government for failing to secure the border. And I think that has put Arizona in the position of having to debate something that they should have solved in Washington a long time ago. And they've kept promising, and we still haven't seen any action.
Can we blame clean elections for some of the people we've got up there in Phoenix right now?
Well, I think let's put it this way. Whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, if there's somebody that you don't like that's up there, you paid for them if you got a parking ticket in this state, because they are most likely were elected with clean elections money. And I think that that's sort of an interesting statement. I think that the things are going to be changing because of the lawsuit that the Goldwater Institute has against the Clean Elections Commission. And I think we'll be seeing the end of matching funds formally as of June of this year. And my hope is that my referral isn't even necessary, that they simply ban it outright. I don't know that I can hope that will actually happen, but I think that it failed in its mission to improve the quality of our lawmakers and of our state elected officials, and it failed in its mission to increase freedom of speech, participation, and the elimination of big money and influence in Phoenix.
You had to have been shocked like everyone else in this community on January 8th when Gabrielle Giffords was shot, and because your history with Gabby Giffords goes back to what, second grade?
Well, not that far. That's Tim B, but mine goes only to eighth grade.
Eighth grade. Yeah.
And it was, to me, it was devastating, because you grow up with someone, you know their family, even though we're competitors, we disagreed on some issues, that does not, that doesn't erase the fact that she was a fundamentally decent person, and I think that it also showed me, at least, that as a human being, you're vulnerable in this world, and it forces you to confront things in your life, what's really important. And it made me realize that politics isn't the most important thing in the world, that there's other things that are more important, like your family and your health and your life.
Do you reconsider perhaps running again for office because of the January 8th incident?
Well, I don't think that – I think I would certainly consider something in the future. At the moment, I'm kind of enjoying my life. I was up at the Capitol testifying in a bill, and they say, you look great. And I said, it's because I've left this place. And, you know, I think that is There is life outside of politics, and it's great to enjoy it.
Jonathan Payton, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
The Buckmaster Show, brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger & Associates, Certified Public Accountants, 2919 East Broadway, and on the web at flowersrieger.com. Flowers Rieger is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. That is going to wrap it up for the Buckmaster Show. I am Bill Buckmaster. Have a great day.
Local talk at its best.
Real talk is what this is.
AM 1330, KJLL, South Tucson.